This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray, live from the D here on this lovely Thursday as we tape this podcast. Wherever you may be listening, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. A tip of the cap to all of you as we made that top sports podcast chart last week. Let's keep that momentum rolling. Hopefully, we will utilize that momentum into some winners. As always, I am joined by Matt Eumanns, our VSiN college football expert. You can read all his work on VSiN.com. He also is the co-host of VSiN Primetime. All right, Matt, for me, it is a ugly, it may be one of the ugliest cards I've ever put together, but I was texting with you on Sunday, and I said, you know what? I'm tired of texting you mad, saying I should have bet this game. So I'm spraying this week, and it is a whole bunch of ugly, ugly sides. How are you feeling headed into week three of college football?
Yeah, fire away, Tim. I know you've left some winners off the card when you've narrowed it down the last couple weeks. Just fire away. Leave it all. Let it all hang out this week. And you know what? It's an ugly card, but I've been to the horse races many times and listened to horse players complain about the quality of the races. There's winners. There's a winner to be found in every race. There's winners all over this card, and it's our job as handicappers to find them, so let's try to do it.
All right, let's jump right into it because we have a lot of games to break down. We call the opening segment the main course, our favorite games, the best games of the week. Not necessarily we're going to be betting on all of these, but a couple of these games we do have some plays on. And College Game Day, Matt, was supposed to be headed to Lexington, Kentucky. Unfortunately, the Kentucky Wildcats said, no, we're going to lose to South Carolina as double-digit favorites. So now it is headed to Columbia, South Carolina instead. And we've got 16th-ranked LSU taking on unranked South Carolina, who looked putrid in week one and a fortunate win over Old Dominion, and then dominant, at least defensively, against Kentucky last week in a 31-6 triumph. So right now, South Carolina, a home dog, catching 7, total sitting at 48 this game, a noon kickoff on ABC. Matt, I know you love you some home dogs. What are you looking at in South Carolina LSU?
Well, I have to be honest here. Brian Edwards, who's a really strong SEC handicapper, talked me into this one this week, and I've got my doubts about the LSU defense anyway, because if you watched the Tigers in their first two games, a defense can be run against, it can be passed against, and it can be scored against. So I think LSU going on the road here is going to be in treacherous territory. I'm not crazy, obviously, about South Carolina quarterback Lenora Sellers, but I think what's going to happen here is the Gamecocks can run the ball. Raheem Sanders, that rushing attack can do some damage. You know what? To me, it's more about the South Carolina defense here. Now, I know that Garrett Neusmeyer and the Tigers have some weapons, but I think going on the road, laying this number is a little bit too much to ask. Like you said, Brian Edwards talked me into it. He's well-schooled in the SEC, a very sharp handicapper. He thinks the Gamecocks are live. And I said, let's give it a shot here because I think you're on to something. This is ugly home dog week for me, Tim. You'll notice every play I've got on my card this week is an ugly home dog. And we're going with the Gamecocks plus 7.
Last week, LSU played FCS Nichols State. They were laying 45.5, and they won 44-21. So 0-2 ATS are the Bayou Bengals so far this year. An impressive performance last week. I'm going to join you. It's not going to be an official play, but I'm going to add it to the card because I don't want to be mad on Saturday once again. It's going to be positivity Saturday for me, Matt. I'm going to throw it all on the card here. So I'm taking the 7 with you, but it won't be an official play. But I will tail you in this one. All right. 3:30 Eastern, Matt, on Fox. We get the Civil War. It's a little weird to see it early on in the year. Used to seeing this game late November. You might have some weather, but because of all the changing in the conferences, Oregon heads to the Big Ten. Oregon State, by the way, big news on Thursday is they're able to poach a couple of teams from the Mountain West and, you know, do a little CPR on the Pac-2, and now it's the Pac-6. Who knows what it ultimately will be. But regardless, you've got Oregon State at home, and Circa here on Thursday, as we record this, just showed a 17 with Oregon State against the Ducks. The Ducks are 0-2 ATS. I thought, Matt, they would bounce back last week. They have been, outside of, you know, Notre Dame, which we can get to a little bit later, one of the more disappointing teams, I think, this year. They're still 2-0, and they still have everything in front of them, but have not looked all that buttoned up. What do you expect Saturday afternoon in Corvallis? Can the Beavs keep it close against the Ducks?
I think they can, just like Idaho did, just like Boise State did. Obviously, this Oregon team's been a little bit overhyped and not ready to hit the ground running with Dylan Gabriel, the Oklahoma transfer quarterback. It's, you know, a new offense, new system for him, and he just hasn't looked completely comfortable so far. And the Ducks have been looked a little bit off. So they were 49-point favorites against Idaho, led by three midway through the fourth quarter, in danger of losing that game as a 49-point favorite. Last week, a lot of sharps land the points with Oregon, anywhere from 18 to 21. They get lucky to beat Boise by three on a field goal at the gun. So what we've seen so far is an Oregon team that's really overpriced in the betting market. And I think the same thing is true here. Now, last Saturday night, I was in San Diego. I was watching the Beavers play the Aztecs. And it was a very depressing football game, especially for those who bet San Diego State. The freshman quarterback for the Aztecs fumbled at the one-yard line. He was going in to tie the game up at seven in the second half, fumbled. Beavers end up going the other way, 99 yards, basically, to take command of the game. I thought Oregon State, which won the game 21-0, should have won the game actually by a much larger margin. The Beavers were the dominant team all night. San Diego State's a pretty sad football team, probably the worst San Diego State team or close to it I've seen in the last 25 years. But Oregon State showed me something there, and I think the Beavers have got some talent at wide receiver. Quarterback play's not bad. They can run the ball. They look pretty good defensively. And they're obviously going to be jacked up for this game. Tim, we talked about it last week in the look ahead segment about how the Beavers might look past San Diego State to Oregon. Well, there's no look ahead now. This is their Super Bowl. Oregon State's got it at home. I didn't bet this because I was waiting for 17 to show up. I sent the play into our producer, Wyatt Tomchek, when the number was 16.5. And I'm not going to bet 16.5 when you're sitting there waiting for a 17 to show. Boom. Guess what? Circa throws a 17 up on the board today. I have bet it now. Oregon State plus 17. That's what I was waiting on. I think, you know, with the magnitude of the game for the Beavers, they're going to show up, give it their best shot. So, again, I think it's Oregon laying an inflated number.
So Matt is in on Oregon State plus 17, South Carolina plus 7. Let's go to Big Noon Kickoff. Our friend Chris Felica, the Bear, who had a very strong start in the Circa Friday Invitational, Matt. He is going to be on site there as Wisconsin, who, once again, you talk about disappointing starts. They are 2-0. Very fortunate to win their opener against Western Michigan. Labored their way through a win over South Dakota from the FCS ranks a week ago. Luke Fick, things have not been all that great so far to start off his era there in Madison, so to speak. And then number four, Alabama comes to town, Matt. And this is an interesting spot. The offensive line is all sorts of banged up here for this Alabama team. A couple of players on both teams will be out for the first half due to targeting. Jake Chaney for Wisconsin, one of their captains, is going to be out, which I think is going to be a significant loss. Look, it has taken every fiber in my body, Matt, knowing the way that you and I like to bet this game, not to grab Wisconsin. I haven't gotten there yet. If that 17, which hasn't shown up yet, emerges, I might have to hold my nose and take Wisconsin, because I'll say this. Last week in Tuscaloosa, Alabama did not look like the team that won 42-16 on the scoreboard. They were trailing going into that fourth quarter, Matt. Then they were, you know, pulled away late. South Florida, I thought, had some, you know, questionable calls, kicking field goals when they shouldn't have. They weren't as aggressive as they should have been late in that game. I don't know how good this Alabama team is. They've got some questions on the defensive front, but I'm just not there yet on this Wisconsin team. Where are you on the Badgers against the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, in our VSIN college football guide in the preseason, I think we had Wisconsin ranked 25th, and I even said at the time, I don't know if this is a top 25 team. It's kind of like giving Luke Fickell the benefit of the doubt, and Right now, I don't think the Badgers deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I know Tyler Van Dyke does not. I think it was the Pro Football Focus ranking, the college version of it, before the season, had the Big Ten quarterbacks ranked, and Tyler Van Dyke was somewhere in the top five. And I said, there's no way he's a top five quarterback in the Big Ten. Well, through two games, 63 pass attempts, he's completing 60%, but he's got one touchdown and no interceptions. These numbers have been underwhelming, let's put it that way, for Tyler Van Dyke and this Badgers offense so far. It's kind of like trying to, you know, run a spread passing attack when you don't have the personnel to do it, and it's just not the right fit for the Badgers, and I think they're struggling. When Wisconsin's at its best is when they have the big physical offensive line and they're punishing you with two running backs, usually one that's a bulldozer and one that's a speed demon. And you don't really have that here. Ches Malusi is a pretty good running back, but just don't have the talent in the backfield or on the offensive line. That said, if this number goes to 17, I'll probably make a small bet on Wisconsin. It has not been that hard for me to resist temptation so far this week. I've been very unimpressed with the Badgers. And, you know, I've taken them in some big underdog spots, including one against Ohio State last year, where I had to hold on for dear life for them to cover the spread, double-digit spread by about a point. And it was one of those you had to sweat out at the end. This might be a similar situation. So anything less than 17, no, I'm not going to take it with the Badgers. But if you give me that 17, kind of like Oregon State, I'll probably take a shot with Wisconsin.
This will be a hold on to your butt special if you do take Wisconsin. Like I said, haven't gotten there yet, and there are plenty of ugly dogs in my card. We will get to a lot of those. That's Matt Eubanks. I'm Tim Murray. Speaking of ugly, how about losing as a 28-point favorite? How do the Irish respond? Notre Dame at Purdue. We'll break it down for you next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Week three of the college football season is upon us. Welcome back in. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm live at the D here in downtown Las Vegas, joined as always with Matt Eubanks. Follow him on Twitter at MattEubanks247. I'm at one Tim Murray. There are letdowns and there are whatever the hell Notre Dame did last Saturday. Notre Dame is a 28-point favorite, loses to Northern Illinois 16-14. Tip of the cap to my partner in crime, Matt Eubanks, who sniffed out that letdown spot with ease. Never a sweat on the brow of Matt Eubanks as Notre Dame loses outright. How do they respond? It has been a interesting week, to say the least, Matt, for Notre Dame as Riley Leonard, conflicting reports. What is wrong with his non-throwing shoulder? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is Steve Angeli taking reps at practice with the ones? There's a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, and I know that last week when we had Matt Grill on from DraftKings Sportsbook on VSiN Primetime, Matt, you were very intrigued at Purdue plus the 16. It is now down to 10, even showing up some 9.5s across the market. So before I give my thoughts on this, and this is a podcast that we try to keep under 45 minutes, so I can't go too deep into the pain that I suffered last Saturday and my thoughts on this Notre Dame team. What is your handicap of this game? Notre Dame at Purdue. The Irish have won 8 straight in this rivalry, and the last time Purdue won was way back in 2007 against the Irish.
Yeah, Tim, you put on a suit and you put on a smile and a happy face, but I know you're dying inside, and we all know it. We can see it. With the Irish falling to Northern Illinois last week, man, I mean, everyone seemed to think that, me included, that Notre Dame is going to be a playoff team. That's a huge win, that Texas A&M to open the season. That's just a monster road win on your resume. And then to lose to Northern Illinois, just inexcusable for Marcus Freeman, because it's not the first time this has happened to Freeman as Irish coach. And pretty soon it's going to be the last time, because as Notre Dame coach, you can't lose these type of games to MAC schools at home. You just can't do it when you're a 28-point favorite and keep your job. But I think Irish are in trouble again this week. And I mentioned to you last week that I thought even, you know, when Purdue was going to be a 17-point dog on the look ahead, I thought Purdue was live to win the game. And I thought it was going to be a tricky spot for the Irish. You know, Purdue-Notre Dame games, when Purdue's got a capable team, are typically close, down-to-the-wire type of games. And Boilermakers pulled plenty of upsets, not just against Notre Dame, but of other teams. And especially in the Big Ten, like Ohio State, go on. But I think this Purdue team's a lot more talented than the so-called experts think. And when I watched the first game of the season, Indiana State-Purdue, that showed on the tape, too. Purdue's got big physical wide receivers, an experienced veteran offensive line, good talent in the running back positions. And the defense is good, not great. And that's one thing where I think the Irish are going to be able to make some hay is, you know, use Love out of the backfield, and they're going to be able to run the ball. And that's going to give them a decent chance to win the game, because I think you could run on this Purdue defense. You'd probably pass on them too. But I'm not sure Riley Leonard can really pass efficiently on any defense right now. I haven't seen it much in his college career so far. And now he's got the banged up left shoulder, and that makes you wonder how many running opportunities he's going to take advantage of, because he doesn't want to take a big hit on that left shoulder, that non-throwing shoulder. So I think the Irish got a lot of concerns going into this game. Hey, Hudson Card, the Purdue quarterback to transfer from Texas, was 24 for 25 against Indiana State. The one end completion was a 50-yard deep ball that he overthrew by about a yard. He was really on point, and he looked really good, and he can run the ball too. So I think the Irish are going to get all they can handle here. And if they win, I think they're going to have to sweat it out. Like you said, I took Purdue plus 11 early in the week. I was really hoping to get that 16 or 17, but Northern Illinois ruined that for us. And, you know, it's also a little bit of a different game, because I thought the Irish were going to roll into West Lafayette fat and happy and maybe overlooking Purdue a little bit in this game. But now, obviously, you're going to get the Irish's full focus. So I don't think it makes the upset quite as likely, because now that Northern Illinois pulled the upset, I think it's less likely Purdue's going to do it. But still, a game that should go to the wire. There's still a 10 out there if you like the underdog. But just as we're talking, Tim, Circa has dropped to 9. So you really got to wonder what's going on with the Irish quarterback situation here. But I do think it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And Steve Angeli, as mentioned, he's the backup quarterback, started for Notre Dame in the Sun Bowl and actually looked pretty strong in that victory over, yeah, albeit a very depleted Oregon State team. You know, for me, I'm going to take the under 46. It opened 47.5, so you're not getting the best of the number. But if it is Riley Leonard, I think Notre Dame's going to try to pound the ground against this Purdue team, as you alluded to. We haven't seen much explosiveness from this Notre Dame offense. And I thought the defense, even though they allowed just 16 points, I thought they were a bit embarrassed playing in the way that they did against Northern Illinois, outgained by around 100 yards. So I think you get a better effort defensively from Notre Dame, and I do think if they're able to play more of their nickel package, which is what they would like to prefer to play in, that would be the way that I roll. Last little caveat here, because we do these conditional plays every once in a while. If Steve Angeli starts and this number goes to 7, I will be in on the Irish, because I think Notre Dame, mm-hmm, at this point actually would be better off with Steve Angeli, assuming that Riley Leonard is not 100%. I think they would be more dynamic, yeah, throwing the football with Steve Angeli as their quarterback. So, Matt, if there's an overreaction come Saturday, yeah, and let's say that Steve Angeli gets the nod here, we see a tweet from Pete Thamel or something like that, I wait till the market reacts, and I think it would be an overreaction, and I would take Notre Dame at a touchdown or less.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the same thing. I want to see what this drops to, because since I've got Purdue plus 11 in my pocket, if the money line price drops to where I think it's a bargain, I might actually lay Notre Dame on the money line and see if I could, you know, hit a middle there, thinking that the Irish are going to win this game by 3, 7, you know, 10, something like that. I got a big middle territory. If the Irish win the game, I think it's going to be because Riley Leonard, who's been criticized all week, really bounces back and plays well, or Steve Angeli steps in, plays capably in his place, or the Jeremiah Love is going to be the star. He had 11 carries for 79 yards against Northern Illinois. He should have had the ball more.
Yep.
You know, I think he could probably be a guy that could carry the Notre Dame offense to a tough win in West Lafayette. I'll say this, Tim. It's definitely a red flag when you get outgained 388 to 260. 388 to 286 on your home field by a MAC team. What is going on? I mean, Marcus Freeman's got to get this straightened out. you can't get outgained by 100 yards by a MAC team on your home field here.
I said it all week, and I'll say it right here. It was not a fluke that Northern Illinois won. Notre Dame up one at midfield. Terrible decision by Ryland Leonard. Questionable play call by Mike Denbrock. Northern Illinois was the better football team last Saturday, and Notre Dame's got to prove it against Purdue and every single week moving forward. All right, we can't spend the whole show talking about Notre Dame-Purdue. 3:30 Eastern on CBS. We've got two best bets. Purdue, anything in double digits for Matt, and Notre Dame, I took the under in that one. Conditional play if it goes down under 7. All right, let's sneak in Texas A&M Florida here real quick, because this is a game that you and I are going to both be on here, and I'll let you start with this one, Matt. Florida at home. We saw DJ Lagway perform quite well in place of Graham Mertz, but it seems like Sunbelt Billy's going to stick with his veteran quarterback. Maybe we see both Mertz and Lagway. Texas A&M comes to town. Are the Gators another ugly dog to back?
Well, if Sunbelt Billy sticks with Graham Mertz and the Gators lose this game, he's going to be called Burger King Billy, because that's where he's going to be working after this game if the Gators lose. I'll tell you what, you got to go with DJ Lagway. Number one quarterback recruit in the country last year. Last week, he stepped in 456 yards passing, as against the Samford Bulldogs, but the Gators won that game 45-7. The number's a little bit deceiving, too. I think about 70 of those yards came on a shovel pass. But again, if you read the quotes coming out of camp, the teammates are inspired to play for DJ Lagway. And Graham Mertz coming off a concussion, you never know if you're going to get what you're going to get from a quarterback off a concussion, because we saw last year with Brock Purdy and the 49ers, where it seemed like for a 2-3 week stretch, he wasn't quite right. So if Lagway plays and plays a lot, I really like the Gators' chances here. This is one of the first bets I made this week, Florida plus 4.5. And, A&M similarly bounced back against a weak opponent last week. McNeese Cowboys won that game 52-10. But Connor Wiegman and the two picks he threw against Notre Dame has not impressed me at all. And even though the coaching edge goes to Mike Elko and the Aggies, this is another ugly dog I'm going to back. Now, I had to take a whipping the first time I took Florida as a home dog against the Miami Hurricanes. I'm taking the Gators again here as home dogs against the Aggies.
I'm riding with you as well, Matt. I will take Sunbelt Billy one last time, and we'll see if he can get us across the finish line. You and I had a big old egg on our face when we tried to fade Cam Ward and company in week one. But this spot, hopefully for Florida, and I agree with you. I thought Texas A&M, not very impressive week one. I thought Connor Wegman, very poor in that performance as well. All right, that's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. A lot more games. We got to pick up the pace here. Week three of college football. We got many more best bets to come. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am Tim Murray here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, joined as always by Matt Eumanns. All right, Matt, we have had two segments, and we've worked our way through five games. So we got to pick up the pace a little bit here, work our way through some games. We've had a bunch of plays. So let's get to a top 25 showdown that I don't think any of us anticipated, nor did TV execs, because this game is 12:45 Eastern on the SEC Network, and that would be number 24, Boston College, versus number 6, Missouri. Last week, I was able to fade that fresh new ranking smell that Georgia Tech had, and fortunately for me, Syracuse held on for an outright win 31-28. This spot a little bit different, Matt, because in order to fade Boston College, you have to lay a whole lot of lumber against this Missouri team. Boston College, of course, on Labor Day weekend gets the upset victory over Florida State. How impressive was that game? TBD. Missouri, haven't seen a whole lot yet from the Tigers coming off of a very impressive season a year ago. They have yet to give up a point, by the way. 51-0 win over Murray State, 38-0 win over Buffalo. No play for me on this one. Missouri laying 16 against Boston College and Bill O'Brien's squad.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien's squad's been pretty impressive so far. And BC's got some big-time offensive linemen who are NFL prospects. And I think this BC team's got some upside. You know, it's interesting, Tim, that when you talk about the SEC, it seems like a lot of people are sleeping on Missouri. I don't think the Tigers are getting the respect they deserve, at least in the media discussions about the conference. So far, outscored Murray State and Buffalo 89-0, and Brady Cook's passed for exactly 228 in each of the first two games. So it looks like this Missouri defense is legit. I don't have a play. I'm certainly not going to lay this big a number against this BC team that's been pretty impressive so far. This is kind of one of those watch and learn type of games for me. And if anything, I might lean under the total of 54.5.
Noon Eastern, Matt, Memphis at Florida State preseason, when we were talking about who could represent the group of five in the college football playoff. Memphis was in the discussion. My rebuttal was their schedule is pretty challenging when you look at they have to go on the road to Tulane. They have to go on the road to USF. They have to go on the road to UTSA. Well, UTSA might not be very good, and Florida State was the big question, right? Could they go on the road and be competitive against Florida State? Well, how about this? A week ago in the game, in the look-ahead line, one shop opened up Memphis only 1.5. Now, that was an incorrect line. That quickly got bet up fast. We're right now sitting Florida State 6.5, and there's even a 7 out there at DraftKings at time of record. Memphis is intriguing. Florida State is coming off a bye. Just how bad are they? Chris Andrews over at the South Point during the summer months, Matt, made this game 16 in his game of the year lines. I was able to grab some cheap money line last week on Florida State. At this price, no play for me. I might actually try to maybe middle this if I could get that full 7 at minus 110 both ways. Memphis is a good squad, and Florida State has looked very, very poor through the first two games of the year.
Yeah, I make this quick. I don't have much faith in Florida State. And in fact, I had the Seminoles rated much lower than the market did in the preseason. I didn't expect as much from this team. And I thought the numbers that Florida State was laying were way too inflated in the first couple of weeks. It turned out that way, obviously. And I'm not just saying that in hindsight. I didn't like the fact that DJU is going to be in his third offense with a new offensive coordinator. Yeah, got a lot of new faces on the Florida State team, offense and defense. So I didn't have Florida State rated like the market did. So I'm not that surprised, really. The Seminoles have fallen on their face a little bit, or a lot here in the first couple weeks. I'm intrigued by Memphis here. I don't think you can fix all the problems in a bye week. I don't think you can turn DJ into a Heisman candidate quarterback just because you had a week off. And I think there are a lot of problems that Florida State needs to fix. I'm intrigued here by the Tigers getting 7. Like the numbers of DraftKings now, but as of right now, it's not a play for me. And certainly not going to be on Florida State.
If Memphis wins this game, ladies and gentlemen, put a big old circle on Annapolis next Saturday when the Memphis Tigers have to go take on the Mids and run in that triple option. Just pointed out, you know I love my letdown spots, and that would be a letdown spot du jour. Speaking of maybe a look-ahead spot, Matt, Oklahoma next week, assuming they can take care of business this week against Tulane, it's going to be hosting College Game Day with Tennessee coming to town in the Josh Heupel Revenge Bowl. But they got to take care of business this weekend, and boy, were they unimpressive last week against Houston. The Houston Cougars, who got their doors blown off by UNLV, they almost beat Oklahoma in Norman. 16-12 is the final score. Oklahoma was a 27.5-point favorite. So this week, Matt, we've actually seen some money pour in on the Green Wave, who gave one away as a home dog to Kansas State last week. Still covered the double-digit spread, but this is one that Oklahoma under that key of 14. I was thinking, is this a buy low spot? But with the look ahead possibility, and I have some serious questions right now on Oklahoma, strong pass for me on this one. Tulane catching 13 after almost knocking off Kansas State last week.
I've got a lot of concerns about Oklahoma. Hey, Donovan Smith went into Norman and was 24 for 28 for 260 yards. And how about this? The Sooners ran the ball 29 times for 75 yards. That's it, 2.6 per carry against that Houston defense. And Jackson Arnold is not Kyler Murray, and that's pretty obvious right now. I like Tulane. I'm not playing it. I might if Tulane gets to 14. Against, it's hanging on that fringe, 13, 13 and a half. I think a lot of bettors are really going to be reluctant on the Sooners based on that great escape they had last week against a Houston team that we thought was really bad. So I'm not sure if this number gets to 14 again or not, because it did open 14 and a half. But again, it's going to be Tulane or pass for me here.
All right, let's run through a couple of rivalry games here. The Backyard Brawl. We all remember that. Was it a Black Friday? Rich Rodriguez, West Virginia squad, undefeated, on the brink of making the national championship game, knocked off by rival Pitt. West Virginia, pretty unimpressive in week number one. Many people, including yourself, thought they would be feisty against Penn State. That was not the case. And then this past weekend, the Pitt Panthers, who, I'll just be honest, I'm not a big Pat Narduzzi fan. I kind of think he's a dope. But they did come back, and they beat Cincinnati 28-27. So the market here, Matt, has come in on Pittsburgh a little bit, and now we've seen that bounce back to West Virginia. So West Virginia back to a 2-point road favorite, 3:30 Eastern, this game on ESPN2. Any thoughts on an old school rivalry, the Backyard Brawl?
I love the Backyard Brawl. It's been some great moments in this rivalry. I lean Mountaineers here, but I really don't want to play the road favorite with too much enthusiasm. Because I played, like you said, the Mountaineers as home dogs against Penn State in week one and got steamrolled in that game. Very disappointed in the way West Virginia played that opener. Hey, Penn State didn't look all that impressive in week two either, but Penn State pounded West Virginia. I'm with you. I'm not a big Pat Narduzzi fan, just like I'm not a big Brent Venables fan. We talked about the Oklahoma coach as well. This is going to be a pass for me. I lean West Virginia, but don't want to play the road favorite here.
Number one team in the country, Georgia, goes on the road to Kentucky. This looked like it would be the first time since 2007 that Kentucky would host College Game Day. Problem was, the Big Blue Nation went out and laid a big blue you-know-what in the Punch Bowl because they lost 31-6 to South Carolina. So no College Game Day for you, but they do get ABC primetime, which I believe means Kirk Herbstreit will be headed to Kentucky there. Because of it also, we see some movement towards Georgia in this spot. The Georgia Bulldogs, that week one win looks more and more impressive. There is a 24 out there. Consensus number sits 23.5. You mentioned ugly dogs. Could we interest you in a dog against the dogs this week?
No, I don't think so. this is one of those. No, I'm serious. This is just one of those games that I pretty much crossed off the list right away and said it's going to be a pass for me. So I'm going to let you put out a play in this game. Tim, what do you got?
I got some ugly dogs coming. Don't you worry. The final segment for everybody out there is going to be ugly dog central, but I'm not getting in front of Georgia. I think they look more impressive now that we saw Clemson go out there and layeth the smacketh down on Appalachian State 66-20. All right, quick break. Before we hit a quick break, 30 seconds. The Apple Cup. I know you love apples. Washington State, Lumen Field, the home of the Seahawks. Washington, a 4.5-point favorite in this one. Any thoughts on what to expect in 20 seconds, the Apple Cup?
Yeah, I bet Washington over its season win total. So that's kind of my investment in this game. I thought Jed Fish was going to be a little bit ahead on the rebuild than most people thought. So far, so good for the Huskies. This game, I think, is priced about right at 4 or 4.5. And I'm not going to play it. I'm just going to root for Washington to win because that'd be a big step in the right direction to get over the win total. For the Huskies.
Get your Peacock subscription for that game, 3:30 Eastern. We got a lot of games to run through. We got ugly dogs to hit on, and we've got a rivalry that is headed to Fort Collins for the first time since 1996. Will we see a live dog in Colorado versus Colorado State? Stick around. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, before we send you off to the final segment of the podcast, where we'll have some best bets as well as a look at Colorado State, stick tuned to after the podcast concludes for a preview of the Friday night games, a big Friday night slate with Arizona visiting Kansas State and UNLV going to Kansas. Here's the rest of the podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, here we go. We got to pick up the pace. I know I've said that multiple times, but we will. We'll get to all of our best bets. We'll have our best bet recap. I am Tim Murray. I'm here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, joined as always on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast by Matt Eumanns at Matt Eumanns 247. Just a quick reminder, each and every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., check out VSiN's College Football Tailgate Show, hosted by yours truly. All right, Matt, last year, College Game Day went to Boulder, Colorado for Colorado State. We had Jay Norvell talking about sunglasses and hats and respect and all of that. And now Colorado's coming off of a butt whipping at the hands of Nebraska. Colorado State, they lost 52-0 in their season opener. I bet this game over the summer, gave it out here on this podcast at +9. So feeling good with that point of CLV. Colorado State, Colorado. Some serious concerns, though, about the health of star wide receiver Torrey Horton for Colorado State. What do you see in Colorado at Colorado State Saturday night on prime time on CBS?
Yeah, hopefully Torrey Horton's okay to go. He had 16 catches, 133 yards last year in that game. Braden Fowler Nicolosi, the quarterback for the Rams, 34 for 47, 363, three touchdowns, three picks. And it's obvious you can throw the ball in this Colorado secondary, which is going to be without Shiloh Sanders, who's out with an arm injury, and he's an important player in that secondary that's lacking talent to begin with. But a year ago, Colorado State led this game 28-17 with 8 minutes left in Boulder, choked it up and lost 43-35. And Jay Norvell really choked that game, the Rams coach. That was inexcusable. But the Rams outgained the Buffs 499 to 418. And, you know, if you watched Colorado last week against Nebraska, no first downs on the first four drives and negative 2 yards at the end of the first quarter. I think the more you watch Deion Sanders, it's pretty obvious. He's a charlatan and a hype man and not a real head coach. And you got to think this Colorado program, at least the players in the locker room, is going to come apart at the seams at some point because it's a top-heavy team where the stars get all the credit and the supporting cast gets all the blame. And I don't think that's going to go too far. I took Colorado State +7.5 early in the week, one of my first plays.
All right, another game. Our colleague Wes Reynolds will be at the Rose Bowl watching his beloved Indiana Hoosiers take on UCLA, 7:30 Eastern on NBC. Brad Powers, college football handicapper, joined VSiN primetime Wednesday night, and he gave out UCLA +3. This is a big game for my win total. I've got over 5.5 for Indiana, under 5.5 for UCLA. The Hoosiers have outscored, albeit pretty lackluster competition, 108-10 so far this year. He wins. Just Google him. That's Kirk Cignetti. Do they win at the Rose Bowl, Matt, laying the 3?
Yeah, good question, because I was thinking about this game last week, and I said, man, I'm hoping to get the Hoosiers as small underdogs at the Rose Bowl in this game. And I tend to agree with what Brad Powers said. I think the market's moved a little bit too far to Indiana -3. But at the same time, you know, I agree with the market move, because I think the Hoosiers probably are going to win the game. At least that's the way I was thinking about it last week when I was hoping to get them as small dogs. Kurt Cignetti's, he is going to win in Indiana. Part of it has to do with the cupcake schedule the Hoosiers have set up. But also, you know, I'm pretty unimpressed with Deshaun Foster and Eric Bieniemy and the UCLA coaching staff up to this point. Man, they were ill-prepared for that Hawaii game 2 weeks ago. Ethan Garbers is a mediocre quarterback at best. And there's just not the typical talent you think you would see on a top-end Pac-12 team. Chip Kelly's recruiting had tailed off. You can tell there's a lack of talent on this Bruins team. And I lean Indiana, but like you here, I bet Indiana over its season win total. I need the Hoosiers to get this win. That would be a big step in the right direction. And with the market moving where it is, Indiana -3, I'm going to leave that alone as of right now. But I do lean Hoosiers.
All right, Matt. Last week, we saw letdown spots come home in big-time spots. Penn State laying 35, won by a touchdown over Bowling Green. Notre Dame, we've already mentioned it, 28-point favorites, lost to Northern Illinois 16-14. So I'm going to run through some letdown spots for this week, and I've got bets on one two, three, four of these spots. What could possibly go wrong? And I don't have a bet on this game, even though I believe Chris Felica does like UTSA. The Roadrunners look absolutely terrible. No thanks on this game. Steve Sarkisian showed his team the video of Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame and said, do not have a Notre Dame moment. My goodness, what a disaster that was last Saturday in South Bend. How about this game, though, Matt? Illinois, we got a little sandwich spot. I don't know if it's going to be a salami and cheese or a turkey sandwich, whatever it is. But Illinois just beat Kansas. Next week, they play Nebraska on Friday. Oh, here comes Jim McElwain on that shark. And I'm going to take the chips plus, I think it's 19 right now. So give me Central Michigan. Central Michigan, by the way, lost 52-16 last week at Pitbull Stadium down there against FIU. They were minus 6 in the turnover margin, and they outgained FIU in a 36-point loss. I don't know if I've ever seen a box score like that. We've got Nebraska taking on Northern Iowa. Nebraska coming off of the primetime win over Colorado. Cal. They are laying 19 against San Diego State. How about a win on the Plains, turning over the Auburn Tigers five times? To be honest, it should have been six times. One of the interceptions got overturned. Our colleague Stormy Bonatoni was on that game. She'll be on this game as well. I know you watched San Diego State up close and personal. It was ugly. But I am going to bet on the Aztecs here. Give me the 19 in this game. Total sitting at 48.5, Matt. You got something in Cal San Diego State.
Yeah, I'm playing the under. And 48.5 looks like the highest number out there on the total in the market. At one point it was 49.5. But, hey, the San Diego State offense is weak. And weak and feeble, and there's not much to it. Marquez Cooper, the running back, can get something done maybe for the Aztecs to help you out to cover that big number. He's one of the few players on that team I like. Danny O'Neill, the freshman quarterback, not ready for prime time. I think the Aztecs are going to have trouble scoring against a Jeff Wilcox defense that held Auburn to, what, 7 points over the first 55 minutes or so in that game last week. Paul Feinbaum. Our fine bum said that the Auburn Tigers had zero chance to lose. And Cal went to Auburn and won the game, 21-14. Auburn had a late touchdown there to make it look a little bit closer. I'm gonna go under here. I think the San Diego State offense is going to have some real problems against the Cal Bears D.
Two other notable possible letdown spots. San Jose State, for the first time ever, went to Colorado Springs and beat the Air Force Academy. And BYU, yep, in a big-time spot against SMU, knocked off the Ponies. What a disappointing performance by SMU, losing 18-15, and they have since benched Preston Stone. Let's get to our best bet recaps. I will have a couple bets to add when we show this graphic here. But before we get out of here, Matt, let's hit your best bets real quickly.
All right, we're going to start here with South Carolina plus 7. This is ugly home dog week. Every play I've got, college football and NFL, is a home dog this week. And so I guess I'll be right there with the bookmakers who are going to need the home dogs in a lot of these games. South Carolina plus 7 against Louisville. I like the Gamecocks defense, and I think they're going to hang in this one. Purdue, I think plus 10 is the best number you can get out in the market now on Purdue against Notre Dame. Plenty of questions about Riley Leonard, a quarterback, not only how efficiently he can play, but also the health of his shoulder. So we're going South Carolina, Purdue. We're going to go, like I mentioned, Colorado State plus 7.5. We're going Florida plus 4. I think there's still fours out there on the Gators in the swamp, but if 3.5 is the best number, still take that, better than a field goal. The Gators, home dogs against Texas A&M. So the last play, I believe, is
San Diego State.
What am I forgetting?
San Diego State, Cal under, yeah.
Yeah, under the total of 48.5. I thought I had another home dog, but I guess not. So I got four. What's that?
Oregon State.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Oregon State plus 17. So you're not getting the best number on Purdue anymore, but you can get the best number on Oregon State plus 17. So that's another play for me there. So we got five home dogs: Oregon State, Colorado State, Florida, Purdue, South Carolina, and then the under in the San Diego State-Cal game.
All right. Put your nose pins on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's run through these plays here to wrap up the podcast. Florida, plus 3.5. DJ Lagway, please be my savior and start over Graham Mertz. Central Michigan, fire up chips, plus 19. San Diego State, you let me down last week, plus 19. Wyoming, yeah, the Pokes who just lost to Idaho with a backup quarterback. Give me the 11. Kennesaw State, the worst team in the FBS, plus 19. Utah State, yeah, betcha. Half unit on Utah State plus the points, half unit on Utah State under, and then we're going Notre Dame Purdue under 46. Oh, that is gross, and we are going to bring home some winners. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. Let's bring home those ugly dogs. They need a home.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And as promised, hey, a little bonus time here as we have Friday night games, and we have to preview those games, and there's some good ones. Friday night will start in chronological order, Matt. UNLV, the Rebs, a program that you and I, more so you, know quite well, as does Jonathan Von Tobel, our compadre on VSiN Primetime. And it was interesting to note on Thursday, Matt, as the market came back in on Kansas. This was down as low as a touchdown. Right now, market sits at 9 with a total of 57.5. Kansas coming off of the loss to Illinois this past weekend. Jaden Daniels did not look great. UNLV so far goes on the road, beats Houston as a short road dog, and then obliterates Utah Tech, putting up 72 points. So UNLV in the game of the year line at the South Point was a 15-point dog in this spot. They lost to Kansas just a year ago in this bowl game when these two teams played. But it's worth noting, since Barry Odom, Matt, has taken over as the head coach of UNLV, no team is better against the spread than UNLV. 12-4 ATS. Are they getting disrespected on a Friday night game in a soccer stadium in Kansas City? Children's Mercy Stadium is the site of this game at 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday.
Well, if the Rebels feel like they're getting disrespected, they got to go out and show it. I'm not going to say they are at this point, because I don't think we've seen enough against Houston and the Utah Tech Trailblazers to say that this UNLV team is legit. I know our colleague Jonathan Von Tobel believes it, and he said he believes in the quarterback, Matthew Sluka. I'm not sure, because I've watched Sluka now in a couple games. Tammy's combined 14 for 30. And he does have the five TD passes, but again, 14 for 30 for 232 yards against two weak opponents. And I know the Rebels have not wanted to show a lot offensively, but Sluka has been a pretty good runner too. I'm just not sure. I'm not completely convinced that the Rebels are going to be that team to come out of the group of five and be a real playoff threat and be better than Boise State. You got to go on the road and beat a Kansas team, I think, until you can really start to say you deserve that type of respect. And I'm not surprised the Jayhawks got beat by Illinois last week. I like the Illini in that spot, so I'm not going to really downgrade Kansas much for that. I think the Barry Odom's done a hell of a job. By the way, the Rebels, I believe, have covered 7 straight on the road. And anyone who watched UNLV football before the Barry Odom era would say, you got to be kidding me. This team used to get trampled on the road every time they would hit the highway. So UNLV has done Barry Odom's done a great job turning around the UNLV program. I think they're for real to a certain extent, but this is the type of game you got to win to really elevate your program to the next level. I'm not buying in yet. I'm not playing the dog here.
Maybe the best game of the weekend will be Friday night in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas. Two top 20 teams going toe-to-toe. Worth noting, this is a non-conference game, even though both of these teams are in the Big 12. Number 14, Kansas State. Number 20, Arizona. Arizona 0-2 ATS to start the year as they put up 61 points in the opener against New Mexico, but also allowed 39 points. And then last week in a very random, bizarre game, however you want to define it, just beat the Lumberjacks of Northern Arizona 22-10. Kansas State went out there, beat the Skyhawks of UT Martin easily in week one. And then last week, boy, they were in a battle in for 60 minutes there to have to come back and beat the Green Wave of Tulane. Did not cover in that game. If you want offense, Matt, it feels like this is the type of game that you would like. Total sitting at 60, spread at 7 here. Chris Klieman, as you've mentioned, one of your favorite coaches, Noah Fifita, Tetero McMillan, just explosions left and right. DJ Giddens has been phenomenal for Kansas State. I would say Avery Johnson, up and down so far, was getting a lot of preseason Heisman hype. Kansas State laying a full touchdown here against Arizona. What are your thoughts on this one?
Avery Johnson for K-State after a bit of a slow start so far. But I like his potential, and I like this K-State team a lot. You talked about it. Chris Klieman, one of my favorite coaches. And I don't think it's a big surprise that K-State had to struggle to get by Tulane a week ago. So I think there's been a little sharp money showing the market on K-State, and I expect that to be where the sharper bets are. I hate recommending college football teasers. But if you wanted to play a teaser on Friday night, tease down K-State to -1 and maybe tease up UNLV to +15. So Rebels 9-point dogs, K-State down to a 1-point favorite. I might put K-State, I'm not going to play that teaser because I just don't tease college football in general. But I may end up playing K-State on some sort of money line parlay or something like that, Tim, this week. K-State's going to be a legit factor to win the Big 12. And I think this Arizona team's a little bit phony, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I would agree with that money line parlay if you are into such thing. I do think that K-State takes care of business, but I'm not racing to lay the 7. By the way, if you're looking at it, I know our friend Chris Felica likes to find those dog with fleas. If you go over to VSiN.com and our betting splits, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, 64% of the bets coming in on the Wildcats of Arizona. So the betting public thinks this is a bit of a misprice. I would actually lean more K-State. If I had to pick a side, I would lay it with K-State here, and I might try to find a money line parlay dance partner here, but no official play on this one, but certainly would lean that way. You know, maybe Washington to Kansas State, something like that as a possible money line parlay. I know we talked about that game briefly, neither one of us having a bet on either one of those games, so might add that to the card. But both our cards are littered with dogs, Matt, so hopefully the dogs will be barking all weekend long. They were barking early last Saturday, so hopefully that is the case here, and hopefully everyone enjoyed our little special add-on here, breaking down the Friday games. Thanks to Matt Humans. Thanks to Wyatt, our producer. Thanks to Sean behind the scenes. Thanks to Ryan Hunter, of course, as well, who is the maestro putting this podcast together. Let's keep it rolling, ladies and gentlemen. Highest ranking we've ever had in the VSiN Sports Podcast last week. Let's keep that rolling as continue to rate, review, and subscribe. Programming note, Matt and I do VSiN Primetime as well as JVT each and every weeknight from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Saturdays, check me out at 10 a.m. Eastern for the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Let's have ourselves a dog-filled winning weekend.